Well, tonight we're looking at James chapter 3, and I'd like to invite you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. And tonight we're going to just begin a look at verses 13 through 16. It says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." You may be seated. In our last time together, we were looking at this chapter. We looked at the destruction of the tongue. We said that only God can tame the tongue, and He does that in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And as we look at verses 13 through 18, we're going to narrow it down to verses 13 through 16 as we take a look at this, and as we see this whole idea of false and true wisdom. You know, both Scripture and ancient philosophers placed a premium on wisdom. And when broadly defined, it's not simply a matter of factual knowledge, but it's a properly and effectively applying truth to everyday life. Solomon wrote this in Proverbs 4:7. He said, "Acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding." And then some 900 years later, the first century B.C. Roman philosopher Cicero, he stated that wisdom is the best gift of the gods and is the mother of all good things. And as you can see by both men, they both considered wisdom to be the highest, to be the most noble and valuable of all possessions. But it was actually the Hebrews who clearly understood that true wisdom was not intellectual, but it was behavioral.
Yes.
It was that which dealt with the attitude. And the biggest fool was one who knew truth and failed to apply it. Now, to the Jews, wisdom was skill in righteous living. But both the Old and the New Testament make it very clear that wisdom is of two basic kinds: the wisdom of man and the wisdom of God. The wisdom that is from below and the wisdom that is from above. Now, as you look at James chapter 3, in this whole section here, 13 through 18, James is addressing two kinds of wisdom. He refers to one in verse 15 as not descending from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. The other, he says, verse 17, is from above, and is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, as we've said on previous occasions, James is giving a series of tests to his readers where they can evaluate if they have true faith or if they have dead, demonic faith, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. And he's already given us the test of trials in chapter 1. He's given us the test of temptation, the test of reception to the word. All of that is in chapter 1. Then in chapter 2, he's given us the test of partiality, the test of righteous works. And now in chapter 3, he's given us the test of the tongue. And that went all the way to verse 12. And then verses 13 through 18, he's given us now the test of humble wisdom. Now, immediately the question is asked, does verses 13 through 18 have anything to do with the tongue? Because at just casual reading, it sounds like he's now veered off into some other subject. Is he continuing this discussion of the tongue, or is it altogether a new subject? And I believe that because there's no connecting particle that would give us some close connection, that doesn't necessarily mean he is not still dealing with the subject. In fact, what I believe he's doing, he's dealing with it in thought. He's drawing the conclusion. This is almost, like you will, the application of everything that he's been talking about. Because if you remember, he warned about not rushing into the role of a teacher. That was in verses 1 and 2. Then in verses 3 through 12, he told us why by giving us a graphic look at the potential of the tongue. And I would have to agree with Douglas Moo, who said this, that chapter 3, verse 1 is not really directed to teachers, but it's to those who would become teachers. And so, therefore, indicating that this section is addressed to every believer, Because every believer is called to control his tongue. And he's called to do that by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, as we look at verses 13 through 18, we need to first recognize James is not looking specifically at the tongue, but he's looking at what controls it. And what controls it is found in verse 14. Look at that with me. He says, if you have bitter envying and strife in your, what? Hearts. He's saying here that the manifestation of good conversation or conduct is going to come from a heart that is humble, a heart where there's no bitter envy, a heart where there's no boasting or lying, a heart that is not self-seeking, or where there's confusion, or every evil work. See, it's only when your heart is pure, when your heart is peaceable, when your heart is gentle, when your heart is willing to yield, when it's full of mercy and good fruits, when it's without partiality, when it's without hypocrisy, will you manifest good conduct? Will you manifest proper control over the tongue? Because see, if these characteristics are true in your life, God is the one controlling your heart. God is the one controlling your life.
Yes.
You are yielded to the Spirit of the living God. Now, we need to yield to Him every single moment of the day. That's why the Bible uses terms like walk by the Spirit. Walking is one step at a time. And it tells us in Galatians 5:16, when you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I believe that verse is telling us that while we are walking by the Spirit of God, we can't sin. So see why it's important that we walk by the Spirit? But see, any other time that we're doing things with our tongue, that we're manifesting the foolishness and the depravity of our hearts, we're not walking by the Spirit. We're walking by the flesh. We're yielded to the flesh. And see, spirituality is just simply this. It's a moment-by-moment thing. You either are spiritual right now or you're not. You either are obedient to the Spirit of God or you're not. And let me just help you out here. There are times when we have arguments with people. There's times that we say things we shouldn't say. And if I could give us all a heads up, we're not filled with the Spirit when that's going on. If we're yelling at our kids, we're not filled with the Spirit. If we're arguing with someone, we're debating with someone over something, and we've got heated exchange going on, that's not being done by the Spirit of God. Even that whole issue going on with John Mark and Paul, do you think that that was by the Spirit of God? As the great anger that was being mounted right there? Or even when Paul, after being slapped in the face, he starts calling names to a person. Do you think that that was by the Spirit of God? And we think the Apostle Paul, of all people, he had to walk by the Spirit in everything he did. Wait a minute. He was human like you and I. And he was mightily used by God. Do you think David was filled with the Spirit when he committed adultery? Or when he stole that man's wife? Or when he committed murder? Any of these things? No, he was not filled with the Spirit. When you have hate in your heart, you're not filled with the Spirit. You have murder in your heart, you're not filled with the Spirit. You're actually breaking the very commandments of God that we are still to keep. I mean, there's a question about the Ten Commandments. As becoming a child of God, are we still to keep the Ten Commandments? And the sound, or the answer, is a resounding yes. This is God's moral law. Do you think God still feels the same today as he felt then when he gave the laws to the children of Israel? Absolutely. We're not to have any other gods before the one true God, are we? We're not to make images of God. We're not to take the Lord's name in vain. We are to remember the Sabbath, which simply means that we are to take a day of rest, and that day of rest being worship. The church recognizes the day of the Sabbath, even though the Sabbath was Saturday. But when Jesus resurrected on the third day, which was Sunday, the first church, the early church, worshiped on Sunday. That became the Sabbath day rest. And if we could just put it very practically, we all need a day of rest. Right?
Yes.
And we violate these things over and over by being workaholics. Or we come up with some stringent amount of rules that when we do take rest, we have so much stress going on because we came up with all these rules like Pharisees that we can't even have a day of rest. Or how about any of the other commandments? Not stealing, murdering, lying. How do you think God feels about these things? You know that they're in the list in Proverbs 6, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination. He hates lying. He hates pride. He hates all these things that are in this list that he's telling us not to do. How much more does he hate it when we allow this to be manifested out of our hearts? So we need to walk by the Spirit's power. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. We need to do what Ephesians 5:18 is telling us. Ephesians 5:18 is telling us that we are to be filled with the Spirit. In the Greek language, it says, be being kept filled with the Spirit. This is a moment by moment. This is passive, which means you can't fill yourself. It means the Spirit of God has to fill you. And at the same time, it's a command. I don't understand that. If I'm commanded to do something that I have absolutely no control over, then there's got to be more to it. Wouldn't you say? Yes. It means that I have to surrender. I have to yield my will. Listen, yielding your will and repenting of sin doesn't occur just when you come to Christ. That's not the only time that happens. This is an everyday behavior. Yeah. Everyday action of our lives. Every single day we're to yield to the Spirit's control. The only way that we can say the right things to other people, the only way that we can make sure that we guard our lips, we do what David says, put a muzzle over our lips, that we don't let that which is foolish in our hearts that Jesus talks about there, that which defiles us, to make sure that that stuff doesn't come out, is that we have to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Yep. Now, let me have you to turn to Ephesians 5. And I just want to walk you just briefly through some of this, and I'd like to explain what it means to do all that. Ephesians 5:18. Now he says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And from that point on, he's telling us all the way into chapter 6, verse 9, what it means or what it looks like when you are filled with the Spirit. Notice what he says. When you're filled with the Spirit, verse 19, you will have a praise-filled heart, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Yeah. Verse 20, he says, you'll have a thankful heart. He says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Next, he says, you will be submissive. You'll have a submissive spirit, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as unto the Lord. I've heard so many preachers preach on verse 22. About wives submitting to their husbands. But can I help you out, ladies?
Please do.
I will help you out right here. In the Greek language, the word submit is not even in verse 22. Did you know that? It just says wives unto your husbands. But it's carried over from the previous verse. That's why the translator stuck it there. Because he already said in verse 21, submitting to one another. Who's all submitting to one another? All of us. Now, there's a reason why I've been married for 25 years and a reason why many of you have been married here for 50 or more years is because you learned from day one that both of you have to submit. Now, there are roles, and the roles are mentioned here, right? But we all have to submit, don't we? First and foremost, to Christ. And so in that section, he talks about that. Even verse 25, husbands loving their wives. And when you're filled with the Spirit, the three things will happen, as he says in verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Three things happen. There'll be a sacrificial heart. There will be sacrificial love. There will be a purifying love. All these things are going on when you're filled with the Spirit of God. Notice what else he says in verse 28. There will be a caring love. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. You care about yourself. You take care of your needs. Guess what? That's the way you're to love your spouse. Men, that's the way we're to love our wives. Just like that. And then he goes on. He tells us all throughout this chapter why it's important to be filled with the Spirit. But he still really hasn't answered so much by way of specific words as to what this really is. And let me just show you the parallel passage. Parallel passage found in Colossians chapter 3. Look over there with me for just a moment. Colossians chapter 3. And what do I mean by parallel is this. Paul wrote both Ephesians and Colossians. And when you say parallel, is what is going on in Ephesians 5 is the same thing going on in Colossians 3. Same subject. But he does use some different terms that will help us. And those terms begin at verse 16. Look at what he says. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Doesn't that sound like verse 19 of chapter 5 of Ephesians? He has just said, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. He says, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The only difference between the two is in chapter 5, verse 18, he says, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. In chapter 3, verse 16 of Colossians, he says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. He's telling us what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And I'll spell it out for us. What he's trying to say is be controlled by the word.
Yes.
Be controlled by the word of God.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, how can you be controlled by the Word of God? Well, first you've got to read it. I mean, that's very basic, isn't it? And if you have trouble reading it, get it on tape, get it on CD, listen to it on the internet. You know, somebody will give it to you on any of those devices and you can listen to it. So we really don't have an excuse of not at least reading the Word in the technological age that we live in. Most people carrying a phone has the Bible on their phone. Do you know that? See, we can't get on to people today for doing this during a church service because they may have a Bible up and following you right along. I carry an iPad. And whatever church service I walk into, as soon as I can figure out what version they're reading from, I can pop right to it and I can follow right along with them. And see, we have all this technology, all this capability. I ride in my car and I listen to the Word being spoken. Another way that you can get the Word in is by hearing it preached. Get CDs, get tapes. Again, listen to it on the internet. Now, forgive me if this offends you, and I'm not seeking to do this, but you do need to be careful with TBN. There's a lot of stuff on there that is heretical. You got to be really careful with it.
Amen.
There are a few programs that are okay. A lot of them play real late at night when you're asleep. But you got to be really careful with it. You have the Way of the Master ministry on there, Kirk Cameron, Ray Comfort, good ministry, teaching people how to evangelize. That's a good ministry, a solid ministry. I know Dr. Stanley is on there. And again, you've got to be discerning, just like with anything else. Just like when you pick up something to read, you got to be discerning about it, right? And there are people within the fellowship that have a spiritual gift of discernment, because that is a spiritual gift. You say, well, I don't have that gift. Well, you still are called to be discerning whether you have the gift or not, right? But see, as you go through all this, he's telling you exactly what you need to do. Now, as believers in Jesus Christ, this is what the Word of God is telling us tonight. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God every single day, every single moment of the day. As much as depends on you, you have to yield to the Spirit of God. And I know that sometimes we don't get enough sleep and we're grouchy because we haven't gotten enough. I've been up since 3 o'clock, so I know that. And sometimes that happens. I haven't had a full night's sleep in 6 years because I have all these kids, you know, and they don't know how to sleep. They think they can sleep during the day while Daddy's at work. Well, Daddy wants to sleep at night when he can sleep, you know what I mean? But see, the thing is we have to still control ourselves. You know, I get up and I leave, you know, my family at home, and I go to school where I teach, and I'm around 50-something kids. I've got to watch my attitude. I've got to watch what I'm saying, my words, even when they irritate me, because they do. They irritate me every single day. Yes, brother. And they're my test. They're my test. They're trying to be joy stealers, right? I think they play for a football team or something. Called the Joy Stealers. Not the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we need to find a new team to root for, but that's something else, right? But anyway, if I could leave you with this tonight, as we begin to look at this section on wisdom, we're still talking about the tongue, but now we're talking about the heart. That controls the tongue. So it's very important that we get the Word of God in. And I know we talk about Scripture memory being a hard thing to do. It is hard. But listen, the dividends are so rich. And there's so many ways that we can learn. I've been teaching my kids Scripture memory just by taking verses and putting music to them. And we just sit in the room and we're singing. They don't realize that I'm teaching them Scripture. And for you know, they're singing the very songs, which are Scripture. Simple to do. But we just have to apply ourselves to do it. So let's ask the Spirit of God even now to help us to apply these truths and help us to be filled with His Spirit, to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, even as we walk out of here. You know, and one of the evidences of being filled, as we read there in Ephesians 5, is a praise-filled heart. You know, when music's playing, that's one of the means that God gives us to worship.
Yes.
And you know, even if you have to close your eyes, you sing some of these songs, you know them by heart, a little key there, of Scripture memory, you keep saying them over and over, eventually you're going to get them, right? We know so many other important things in our life. The Scripture is so important, the most important thing, repetition. But we ought to take advantage when we're singing to worship. Forget about everything else around you. If you have something on your heart, confess it. If you have something that you've done against the Lord, against His Word, confess it. Repent of it immediately. Don't let that stuff linger. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to help us now. Father, we thank You so much for the time that we've had together tonight. And we just ask that the Holy Spirit will take these words and apply them to our life. Help us as we walk out of here that we have some meat that we can chew on and we can apply these things to our life and realize that being filled with your Spirit is just a daily walk. Why you tell us to walk by the Spirit one step at a time. And yeah, it is hard to die to self. It is hard to do these things, but you even help us do that. You accommodate us. So Heavenly Father, we just want to give you worship tonight. We want to give you praise for everything that's occurred in here tonight. We pray all this now in Jesus' name. Amen.